Well, I want to continue talking with you about walking in God-given purpose. Walking in God-given purpose. And I want to make a connection to All Nations Sunday, our vision of being all nations and nations streaming together and knocking over the candle in the process. All nations streaming together up to that holy mountain to worship Christ as one. And just as we are all nations streaming together, overarching purpose that the Lord has for us is that we are growing into the full stature of Christ together. That our growth in the Lord is not just my growth in the Lord. And of course, all of us need to be growing. But it's a matter of all of us growing into the full measure of Christ together. So just as all nations are streaming together, we're all growing together into the full stature of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how that's a major part of the purpose of the body, the purpose that God has for us as we walk together. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This purpose is not just for you, it's not just for me, but it's for us. It's all nations streaming together to become like Christ together. There's a sense that as we're growing, as we're learning, as we're being that body together, that we're growing together. We're gaining a common, unified understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ together. And it's very important for us to realize this purpose for us together. Everyone say together. To gather together. Ephesians 4:1, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Next week we're going to be praying for those that have come through the Gateway class. And I'm very excited. There's about 6 or 7 of them that have walked this journey. And we're going to be praying for them and their families as becoming part of the family of Christ here at Northgate Community Church. And this verse says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And in this class we go over our 7 pillars, obviously all biblically based. And one of the pillars is the bond of peace. That we keep that sense of unity among ourselves by being committed to walking in the bond of peace. There may be times that we have to work things out. And by the way, if you ever need to come and tell me, Pastor Dan, you really messed up, feel free. I've become very comfortable with my humanity. All right? And you can tell me that I've messed up or this and that. I've gotten a lot of practice in the school setting. And so forth. Although with Living Grace Christian School, they're very grace-filled parents. So I hardly ever get that. But you can do that. All right? But we work things out in the bond of peace. We don't react to each other. We don't yell at each other. There's a sense that if we do that, the Lord blows His whistle. And He calls a foul. And He says, get back into peace. Work it out in peace, in peaceable ways. That there's that unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's very, very important. It says in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's a marvelous thing to see various peoples coming together, various nations streaming together, to worship the one Lord, to one Father, one God and Father over all and through all and in all. That's a testimony to the world. In verse 7 it says, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned to it. Each one of us, grace has been given to us. And this grace is not the grace that we come to the Lord in salvation. It really refers to equipping grace. God has given each one of us equipping grace. Grace gifts that He has apportioned to help us to grow up as the body of Christ. All of us have a purpose as part of the body. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. There's an emphasis on God here. God is the one who does this. God is the one who ascended. God is the one who descended. God is the one who gives the gifts. It's a gift from Him. It's nothing that we can boast about, but it's God who does this. Verse 11, it was He, it was God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And this is the key verse. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves. We love infants. I bet every single one of you was a very cute baby. You're still cute. All right, we love infants. But we don't want our infants to stay like that all the time. Hi, Ogolua. All right? We want Ogolua to grow. All right? We don't want to be tossed back and forth as infants the rest of our lives. It's very important that we be growing. God gives us indicators in our lives that show us whether we're growing. It might be a milestone that occurs in our life. It might be when we get together with extended family. It might be when I get in an argument with my wife. All right? How do I handle that? Do I handle it better this time than I did, say, I did last year? Ask yourself, when you get into an argument with somebody, how quickly do you take care of it? How do you handle it? How did you handle it 5 years from now? How did you handle it last year? How do you handle it now? Maybe 5 years ago it took you a week to deal with that. Maybe last year it took you a couple of days to deal with that. Maybe now you realize you deal with it very quickly. Maybe it takes you one afternoon. Well, that's an indicator of growth. You've grown. God wants us to be growing in how we handle. And we see that growth through the character of Christ. We see that growth through the fruit of the Spirit emanating from our lives. We see that through the Lord enabling us to walk in His peace, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit when various circumstances come into our lives. Nima this recently and Jeff, they had a serious situation happen. All right? Well, you know, Nima's in a business and there's ups and downs in the business that occurs. He's self-employed. All right? Well, he's mature enough in the Lord that he knows that God is using these things to help to grow him. That God's ultimate purpose for Nima is for Nima to become more like Christ. And even though it's hard, he sees that these things help him to become more like Christ. And he's had to handle the ups and downs and the body blows and so forth of business and being self-employed. Well, he can see how he handles these things, how Christ has helped him to handle these things as he's grown in the Lord. So it says that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we, everyone say we, will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And the supporting ligaments are our love for each other. Those loving relationships. By every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. God's overarching purpose for us is our growth as part of His body. Not just my growth, whether I'm growing, but our growth as part of His body together. It is of utmost importance that we need to be growing and maturing and becoming strong disciples of Christ. And becoming a strong disciple of Christ is learning how to rely on Christ. It's learning how to live Christ by grace through faith. A strong disciple of Christ is not somebody that can just pat themselves on the back and look at me, I'm a strong Christian. I do what's right. I live right. A strong disciple of Christ is someone that has learned to depend upon Christ, learned to access Christ, learned to rely on Christ every single day of his life, learned to live Christ by grace through faith. The Apostle Paul said to the Galatians, "You foolish Galatians, you came to Christ by grace through faith. You came to Christ, you became born again by grace through faith, and now you're going to revert to trying to earn it through the works of the law." We come to Christ by grace through faith, and we live Christ by grace through faith. How do we live Christ by grace through faith? It's every day that we're setting Christ first, we're putting Christ first, we're imitating Christ, we're focusing on Christ, we're fixing our eyes on Christ, we're living Christ, we have a relationship with Christ. We're focusing on our relationship with Christ and that He's right there with us. We're focusing on Christ. And as we focus on Christ, He takes care of everything else. The Bible says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. As we focus on Christ, He guides us. He leads us. His fruit emanates from our life. His character comes from our life. As we focus on our relationship with Christ and we're connected into that true vine of Christ, the branch. We are the branch. The branch has fruit. We focus on Christ. Live Christ by grace through faith. Learn how to rely on Christ. Learn how to depend on Christ every day of your life. I shudder to think, even one day, thinking, oh, I can handle this day. You know, I can take care of this day. You know, this day, isn't going to be too hard. You know, there's no day like that for me. I need Christ every single day of my life. We need Christ. Live Christ by grace through faith. We're feeding on the meat of the Word. There's the milk of the Word, which feeds newborn babes. Now that we have tasted that the Lord is good, and a babe, Ogo Olua, tastes that sweet milk. Okay. All right. And she wants to drink more. She wants more. That's how she feeds. That's how she grows. And the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And then there's the meat of the Word. All right, we need that protein. We need that meat to grow as strong disciples of Christ. We're growing together. But it's not just me feeding on the Word, but we're growing and we're feeding on the Word together. That's why it's so important to be together, so that we can have a common understanding and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:19 talks about our growing to the measure of the fullness of God. Into the full stature of Christ. Becoming like Christ in His fullness. Growing past infants to maturity. There's a sense of our growing together as part of the body, and all of us growing together into the full stature of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now that mature, that for that word mature, the singular is used. Now I love grammar. I have this saying with my students, we're going to hammer grammar until June. Alright, there's nothing about grammar that, I mean, you can try to make it interesting, and we can play grammar, basketball, and stuff like that. But there's just something about it. You've got to go after it every day. We're going to hammer grammar until June. And we talk about the singular and the plural and how the verb needs to agree with the subject. If the subject is singular, the verb needs to be singular. If the subject is plural, the verb needs to be plural. And there's all kinds of rules to figure out whether the subject is singular or plural. And there's this thing called collective nouns. Like team is a collective noun. It names a group. Group is a collective noun. Family is a collective noun. Body is a collective noun. Well, when it says, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, that word mature is in the singular. It's in the singular. And when you have a collective noun, all right, there are some collective nouns that are singular. There are some collective nouns that are plural. But what it comes down to is, are they individuals acting separately, which would mean plural, or are they a unit together, which would be singular? Singular is one. Forgive me, I'm giving you a grammar lesson. Singular is one and plural is two or more. It's simple as that. Well, in this word mature, the singular is used. And so as we're growing to maturity, as we're growing into the full stature of Christ, we're growing together. That's a very important purpose, that it's not just me growing, but we're growing together. That all nations, as we come together, we are growing together into the full stature of Jesus Christ. Coach John Wooden, the very established coach of the UCLA Bruins, one of the greatest coaches of all time, won about 10 NCAA championships, you know, March Madness, you've heard of March Madness and so forth, okay, and winning the national championship, one of the highlights of the sports year. Well, this guy won about 10 of these, all right? Well, this is what he said. He said, individuals win trophies, but teams win championships. We know in school classrooms that there's a saying that once the door is closed, the teacher does whatever he or she wants to do. Once the door is closed. They might have all these edicts coming from above, but once that door is closed, the teacher does what she wants to do. Well, I was blessed. I told the Living Grace Christian School staff, I take the opportunity to brag on them a little bit. They really have a sense that it's not my classroom. It's not a sense, okay, this is my classroom. Don't get that at all from them. But we are in this ministry together. That we are a team together. We're in this ministry together. And for all of us, it's not me just using my gift, or this is my ministry. But it's a sense that we're in this ministry together. It's not a selfish thing or a fleshy thing. Being individualistic in the body of Christ really is an indicator of immaturity. That we need to go past that to maturity. We need to grow in the context of a body of fellowship. We're not simply monks to ourselves. Say, okay, I'm going to worship the Lord over here, and as long as I'm by myself, me and God, we've got it together. But we are together all growing into the full stature of Jesus Christ. Our God, one of the main titles that we have for God. What is the main title that we have for God? What is the title that we use for God when we pray the Lord's Prayer? It's our Father. And Father means that there's a family. He's the Father of a family. And so we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That family is a collective noun. And it's a one unit collective now. We are a family. It's the most important family. And we're a house of prayer for all nations. The Bible says that we are citizens together. Citizenship is often an issue when you come to the United States of America. It's one of the biggest political issues in our day. But I want to tell you that you are a citizen in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are citizens together in the Church of Jesus Christ. And a citizen, being a citizen comes with rights. It comes with responsibilities. It comes with certain freedoms. Well, we have these rights. We have these responsibilities. We have these freedoms as part of our citizenship in the body of Christ. The ligaments that we read about. The ligaments hold the parts of the body together. Every once in a while I'm running, I feel a little twitch. I feel a twitch in my knee, or I feel a twitch behind my knee. And I know when that starts happening, when I feel that twitch, I better not push it. All right? I've learned enough where when I feel that twitch, I got to slow down. I got to start jogging very slowly. Maybe even I have to walk. Because if I keep pushing it, that twitch might not just become a little bit of a strain. It might tear. All right? Well, those ligaments that hold the parts of the body together, those ligaments, call them loving ligaments. Loving ligaments. All right? They're holding the parts of the body together. It's our relationships together. It's showing practical love to each other in the Lord. Because we all have a role in the body, and we're going to talk about that. But we need to understand that those loving relationships, that practical service towards one another, is what holds us together, and that's very important. Philippians 2:1 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, does Christ encourage you? I hope so. If any comfort from His love, Have you gotten comforted from the Lord's love? If any fellowship with the Spirit, do you have that sense of the fellowship among the believers? There's a fellowship among the Spirit, the people that you have never seen before. Maybe you meet somebody at work, you meet someone in the neighborhood, and you recognize that that person is a brother in the Lord. That person is a sister in the Lord. That's the fellowship in the Spirit. If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by having this attitude, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. That enables us to flow together as the body and all the intervening parts, integrated parts, that we have those loving ligaments together. And sometimes you need to slow down. Sometimes you need to slow down to make sure those loving relationships are in place. God is calling us to be committed to knowing ourselves in God as part of this body, as part of the purpose to grow into the full stature of Christ. Everyone using their gift to help the body to grow. God is calling us to know our motivation. What motivates you to action? What inspires you? God is calling us to know our gift. What are you good at? 1 Corinthians 1:7 talks about spiritual gifts. And in the Greek, it emphasizes the gift of grace. Again, it's that gift of equipping grace. It's what God gives us. It's that gift of grace to help the body. It's a gift given by God, by God's grace. In my first year of teaching, I read a book called The Happiest People on Earth by Demo Shakarian. And in this book, he shared how the happiest people on earth are those who find their grace gift and use it. Those who find their grace gift and use it as much as possible. And I could really identify because I felt that dynamic occur with me when I was teaching kids in the classroom. That I loved that relationship with the children and teaching them. I felt like one of the happiest people on earth. When I was in high school, I took a survey. And I answered all these questions. And the three things that came out that I would most likely enjoy doing would be a recreation worker. Well, I run a camp called Camp Courage. The second one was that I would enjoy being an elementary school teacher. Well, I ended up doing that, Living Grace Christian School. And a third one was a counselor. It's very integral to being a pastor. It was kind of interesting to me as to how that turned out. God knows who we are. God knows our motivation. God knows that what we desire to do with our life. In this book, the author, Demo Shakarian, he said he had the gift of helps. And the gift of helps is a very, very high quality in life. Adam needed Eve. Adam needed a helper suitable for him. Adam needed a helpmate. So often, Sylvia, she just rounds me out, balances me out, helps my rough edges. When I'm going headstrong in one area, she helps me to get the Christ balance that I need. And she's committed to excellence in anything we do, that it be excellent as unto the Lord. She's an awesome helpmate to me. That gift of helps is a very, very important quality. Just helping others by any means necessary is critically important. 2 Corinthians 9:2 says, "For I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action." When we're helping, that stirs others to action. It helps to motivate others. Acts 9:36 speaks of a disciple named Tabitha. And Tabitha was always doing good and helping the poor, including helping widows in poverty situations. 1 Timothy 5:10 talks about widows helping in various ways, bringing up children, not just their own children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting themselves to all kinds of good deeds. You know, I think of, she's not here today, but I think of a person showing hospitality in the flock home group, Betty Money. You may not be married. I want you to know God can use you mightily to help others. In many ways, when you're not married, you are free to serve God even more. Use that to serve Him. In the Bible speaks of various gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Remember, the gift doesn't mean that you are more spiritual. The gift is from God. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's given for the common good. It's given for the good of all of us together. What is your gift? Whether you know it or not, God has gifted you. God has given you a gift, and it's not for you. It's for all of us. That's the ironic thing about God's gifts. He gives you a gift to give it away. He gives you a gift to bless others with. He gives you a gift not so that you can just hoard it to yourself, but so that you can bless the body and build up the body. As every person uses their gift, the body is built up and we grow up into the full stature of Christ. What are some various gifts? There's a gift called the message of wisdom. The message of wisdom is a very important gift. It's a gift that helps people to know God's direction, know how to apply God's word in various situations. You may have that gift, you may not have that gift. You need to use that gift. The Bible says, speaking the truth in love. I know I'm often called on to give counsel. All right? Well, I need to do that in such a way that encourages and helps people. But we need to be able to receive that from others, that message of wisdom. Maybe we might be going down the wrong direction. It may not be a sin issue. All right? Maybe we're about to buy a house. All right? And we're feeling the pressure because we have to buy a house. Well, that's a very, very important purchase. You know, the Bible says there is safety through the multitude of counselors. God wants us to make a right decision. And so we're applying God's word in a wise way, a message of wisdom. There's the message of knowledge. How do we know Christ? Knowing the gospel. To know the gospel, to share the gospel with others. Giving people insight into God's word that applies to life. There's the gift of faith. And the gift of faith, again, all these gifts are to build up the body. Not just for my faith so that I can accumulate things to myself, a name it and claim it philosophy, but to bolster others' faith, to help others to keep faith through trials, help others to grow into a depth of faith, this kind of faith, the faith of a disciple of Christ. There's gifts of healing, and God uses different ways to heal people. But there's the gift of healing. Ruth may not be a doctor, but she has the gift of healing. All right? If I was in a hospital room, I would want Ruth to come into the room. All right? Because she has that soothing nature about her. All right? As a nurse. All right? Well, there's that gift of healing. There's the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy, again, it's right there in the Word of God. The gift of prophecy is to edify the body, to build up the body. Again, that gift is not for me, but it's so that I can give it to others, so that I can build up the body. There's the gift of distinguishing between spirits. What is true? What is false? Is this from the Holy Spirit? To be able to discern, does this line up with the Word of God? That's a gift. There's the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues. I was really blessed last week with how the body really blessed Blessing and Promise and Jennifer as they got baptized. And at one of the times, I think Kai started singing. And another lady from Togo started singing. And singing in a different language. And then I was blessed by Claude because Claude interpreted. You know, Claude, when he started coming to our flock group, he read his Bible in French, and we told him that was okay. He did not know English. If you don't know English, it's okay. You will learn. All right? But he interpreted for the rest of us what the lady was singing through that song. Putting a message from a tongue into a known language so that we can understand that. That's a gift. There's a gift of teaching. To study God's Word, to really break down God's Word, to really understand God's Word, and then to be able to communicate God's Word in a way that people can understand it and be fed from it and to grow from it. Teaching others, teaching children. There's the gift of teaching. There's the gift of being a worker of miracles. Being a worker of miracles. God does many miracles in big and small ways every day. I'd encourage you. I challenge you to see if anyone will ever say no when you say to them, "Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you?" We all have seen how God works, has worked in our lives through prayer. Remember one time I had this jaw thing. I was eating at lunchtime one day and my jaw just cracked and stopped moving. And it was like stuck. And I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, "It's the dentist's job." I went to the dentist. And the dentist said, "It's the doctor's job." So I was caught between, I don't know what I was caught between. So we just had to pray. I remember being at Pastor Herb Sutter's house, and we prayed, and prayed for my jaw, and a warm sensation went through my jaw, and boom, been healed ever since. All right? Workers of miracles. Pray for people. Pray for people. And God can minister to people through prayer. The gift of those able to help others. We've discussed the importance of the gift of help, just helping people. The gift of administration, organizing ministry and events, organizing all that food, all right, that came in this morning. All right, well, that's a gift. Jennifer Walker, when you see Jennifer Walker, thank her for doing that. And Mrs. Lyman, whoever else, all right, that is helping this morning with that. That's a gift, the gift of administration. Romans 12:6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. It's from God. Romans 12:7 and 8 talks about serving. We talked about how Jesus defined true greatness as serving others. It's a gift. Ministering to physical needs. Being a deacon or a deaconess in the church. Romans 12:7 and 8 talks about the gift of encouraging. What is encouraging? At Camp Courage, we tell the kids that encouraging someone else is putting courage into that person, putting that courage into their inner being, giving them courage for life from their inner being, and being a strong person and not being this big, big person on the outside, but it's being a big person on the inside, putting courage in, encouraging others. The gift of contributing to the needs of others, giving generously, seeing a need and giving to meet that need. The gift of leadership, to stand before is what that means. It means to stand up and be counted. The Bible says the gift of leadership, to if you have a gift of leadership, that you should lead diligently. And that diligently has to do with taking responsibility, that we're not a leader just for show, but we're a leader to serve. We're a leader to serve the family of God. There's a purpose that God has given us that gift for. It's not just to, oh, I'm the leader. But it's to serve the body, to serve the family of God. There's the gift of showing mercy, caring for the ill, caring for the hospitalized, the elderly, the needy, providing comfort. If you have this gift, when you hear about someone in the hospital, you're going to go to the hospital and visit them and encourage them. And it says, showing mercy, if we have this gift, to do it cheerfully. To do it cheerfully. We're not engendering self-pity, but to do it cheerfully. Do it positively. Uplift that person. To do it cheerfully. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, fan into flame the gift of God. We've all seen a bonfire, and as the fire is going down, that we have to fan that flame. We have to feed that flame. And the way we fan that flame with the gift of God is by using that gift. We have to use that gift. If you don't use something, you lose it. But you got to use it. You got to fan that flame. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. This gift isn't given to us to just be happenstance used here and there, and you know, when I feel like it and so forth. But He's given us a spirit of self-discipline. The Bible talks about diligent hands. And so we need to endeavor to use the gift that God has given us diligently, systematically, regularly. We can't just forget about the gift for a half year and say, oh, yeah, I forgot that I had that gift. But we need to use that gift diligently. Don't place the gift on the shelf. Use it diligently. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, each one, not just the pastor, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. This is living Christ by grace through faith. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Do it with the strength God provides. That's relying on Christ. That's living Christ by grace through faith. God's purpose for us is for us to be part of the body of Christ, for us to be growing together, for each one to be using our gift, not isolated, but yes, in loving ligaments together, to be growing into the full stature of Christ. Get involved in serving. Sometimes you may not know at first what our place of service is, but as you get involved in serving, God will reveal that to you. You'll see how God has gifted you by His grace. It's not to pat yourself on the back, but it's to help others. It helps us all to grow together in Christ. I'd like us all to stand. I'd like to close by reading Ephesians 2:19-22. And to me, this really expresses it and kind of connects that how we're all nations brought together and what really God wants to do. There's a purpose to all this. God has a purpose for bringing us together. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We're fellow citizens. We all have those rights of citizens. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises. Everyone say rises. To become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We're rising together. It's not just one person rising, or this person rising, or that person rising. We're rising together. We are citizens together. We're all being built together to be a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. You know, we know that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there's also a very strong dynamic that occurs when we all come together to worship Christ as one. Christ makes us His dwelling, us together. Christ comes through. That's what happens when we're worshiping Christ and celebrating Christ all together. Christ rises in our midst. All nations streaming together, functioning together. That's a testimony to the world. That's something that is on God's heart. And it's a place where God desires to dwell. It's a place where God wants to make His dwelling as we come together and be that dwelling place by the Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word. I thank You that You bring us together for a purpose. I thank You that what You're doing is of Your doing, Lord God, and You have a purpose to it. Lord God, that You want us to grow into the full stature of Christ, Lord, the full measure of Christ. And I pray that each one here, Lord God, would know that they have a place in this body. They have a place to contribute. They have a place to use their gift, Lord God. They have a place, Lord God, to serve You. They have a place to serve others so that we can all grow up into the full stature of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.